You've seen the challenge on Facebook, what you looked like a decade ago. Wait until you see what journalism looked like then and now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to encourage us on Twitter. And listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is inspired by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel, with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery and a range of colors and materials to suit your travel style. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS. Jimmy, this is...
What hasn't changed in the last 10 years? Okay.
It is... have you seen the challenge, by the way?
Yes.
Out there where they... I didn't even... First of all, how do these things start? And how do I not know when they start? I just all of a sudden wake up and go, oh, this is going on? Like, I keep seeing people posting this. Weird. How do people find out that this is happening?
Social media.
No, I know. I know social media does it.
Facebook.
So, but who's the person? Does someone say, "Hey,
Instagram,
let's do this and share it"? I mean, it's like, how do these things? Is it like the wave that somebody has to stand up and do the wave in a stadium somewhere, and then everybody follows along?
Yes, there is a wave that is. You know,
that's what it is. Steven seems to know that it's like the wave, right?
It starts with one person doing it, and then everyone's like, "Oh, this is cool," and then it just.
So you're seeing all kinds of interesting photos. You've probably participated in that as well. So we thought this would be a good time to kind of look at 10 years ago and now for the media and journalism. And it was interesting because the Poynter.org, Poynter Institute down in St. Pete, Florida, they're always looking at trends and different things happening within journalism circles. And so what they decided to do was look at interview 15 journalists from across the United States to hear their experiences over the last 10 years to get a real sense of what are some of the things that they were concerned about then, concerned about now, what wasn't happening then that's happening now and the other way around. And what's interesting, and I don't know that there's any surprise here, it's almost a completely different landscape.
Think about it. Technology happens so fast. It evolves so fast. It becomes part of our lives so quickly.
Right.
Now, it's going to be – the reporting of it and using it is going to change. It's the nature of the beast. Think about Instagram just for a second, okay? You and I are not Instagram-ers.
Right.
However, it's probably the most powerful marketing tool amongst – all social media now because of the influence that this media form has taken.
Right. And advertisers using it in a big way.
Everybody. Well, those wherever those eyeballs go, your advertisers are going to follow because media delivers eyeballs, delivers audience. You monetize that audience, you make money. It's been going on. That's commercial media.
Yep. So here are some things. Let's kind of go through the list here of you know, how things have changed. So one of the things we always talk about is how the newsrooms in general have been shrinking, right?
Yep.
So that what they looked at from 2008 and they stretched it to 2017, and they saw that newsrooms shrank by 23%. This is according to a Pew Research poll. Then they looked at newspaper newsrooms. Well, they shrank. So one is just newsrooms in general. The other one's more specific to newspapers, shrank by 45%.
Now,
that's amazing.
What it doesn't do is compare the downward trend in the decline of personnel in these newsrooms
because of all these other outlets out there now.
Right.
Other
I was going to say declining audience.
Well, there's a declining or fractured audience because the audiences didn't just die. They're around. They just go
elsewhere.
Smaller
and more niche-like.
Right. So this is moving. I mean, but that's all part of this trend that we've seen changing over the last 10 years is that, so the appetite for this kind of news has dried up. So if the appetite has dried up, well, then you don't need as many people to cook the food.
Right.
You know?
No, you don't. That's the whole point of this. What I found interesting, this is really related to commercial media.
Right.
Journalists who create content to drive eyeballs to that particular media.
Right.
So it can be consumed. And what I found interesting about the whole thing was, you know, what what exactly is going to happen? It's commercial media. So now what's happened is they've gone to the nonprofit side. A lot of these investigative journalists are being funded by nonprofit entities. So we're moving away from a commercial media and moving into a nonprofit media of journalists.
Definitely.
And I'm, and again, your friends at public television, radio, and newspapers, and all this neat stuff seem to be reaping the benefits of that.
Right, and they are. That's where the people who are no longer employed in the newsrooms, newsrooms broadly speaking, and newspapers as well, they're finding their parachute is landing them at places like this. And in fact, according to this story on Poynter, there are more than 180 nonprofit newsrooms now in the United States. So a lot of these publications that didn't exist 10 years ago are now filling the void. And the model is different, right? So where it was the ad revenue that was primarily that or subscriptions, however it may be, now on the nonprofit end, some are doing crowdfunding, crowdsourcing. Others are, you know, donations in general, just broadly speaking. There are all kinds of new revenue models to fund this kind of journalism. So it's not as if it is sad in that the journalism that we knew and how it was practiced has changed. But it's not going away. It's just a different kind of way.
It's adapting and it's evolving. And it's really just the nature of the beast, because if your audience is in decline, your ad revenues are going to be in decline, which usually leads to layoffs because that's the easiest thing to do, is to cut personnel.
Right, right.
And unfortunately, it's been going on now in the print industry for well over a decade.
Right.
And
it's just been, but
now
it seems to be accelerated. Yeah.
Yep.
And the thing about it is, too, Jimmy, is that there are, when you look at the ownership, that's another thing. We've talked often on this podcast about Sinclair Broadcasting and how they've scooped up a lot of local stations around the country. There aren't a whole lot of mom and pop papers left. There aren't a lot of mom and pop TV stations. It used to be families would own two or three TV stations. They're all being scooped up. And so what they pointed out is not only are there fewer newspapers, but now there are fewer owners of these various different, you know, broadcast entities. And it's not families or even media enterprises now. It's, you know, like private equity or hedge funds that are owning these. And so we know what they do. Nothing against my friends in that industry, but it's all about shrink, create value, dump.
Right.
That's what it is. It's not
flipping. It's flipping.
It's,
you know, we're not flipping houses. We're flipping industries.
Flipping industry.
Flipping
TV stations and so forth.
Right.
Consolidate them, streamline, hub it all, and then dump people and create value. So that's a sad part of this. The other thing that I found, Jimmy, I don't know if you saw this, but so they did the comparison to 10 years ago as part of their reporting here. It was there was a 2017 diversity survey. And it found that there were about 16.55% of staffers in the news industry, newspapers and online news sites, 16.55% were minorities. And then, and 10 years ago, it was 13.43%. So just a little bit of a percent over 10 years, it only went from 13% to 16%, 3 percentage points. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of change. Now, you could argue, you know, who's in the pipeline or young people of color not wanting to get into this industry. There are all kinds of issues. But I think, you know, you would think that over 10 years, there'd be more growth among minorities, even as the country leans more minority than majority white, that there would be more in the industry, and that's not the case.
So let me ask you about your career. I love this, talking about your career and looking back at it. Institutionalized racism is part of this history of the United States.
It is. It's in the history of our industry.
Right.
Yes.
And not just the industry, but the country.
Right.
Okay. I want to know, in your career, do you think that you were ever elevated in your career or demoted, you're dragged down in your career because of the color of your skin? Have you ever seen anything or felt anything like that through the years?
You know, it's hard to say. Like, you know, I was never privy to hiring practices. And if somebody was using color as something, they would not have told me about it.
Right.
I mean, look, I think from the positive end of it, I certainly think that it opened doors for me. Be just the same way that when they needed a blonde anchor, you know, the blonde opened the door for that anchor. And when they needed a whatever looking, you know, dude to be the main anchor, that's what they got. Or they needed a jock looking guy to be the sports guy or a geek to be the weather guy.
Right. And that, and that's my point, because when you mentor young people in this business, I tell them the same thing. The people that are making the decisions about the hiring know the look of the person that they're looking for to replace on air.
So what you look like, what the color of your skin is like, what your hair is like, whatever it is, if it's what they're looking for, it's what they get. Now, having said all that, so I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But unless you decide, well, none of the people who don't look like this are ever going to be in my newsroom, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that this is a visual medium, and that helps you get a job.
Right.
The problem is, or where it leans on what you need to do as a reporter or anchor or whatever it may be, is you got to deliver. So that may get you in the door. You may have a good reel. But now once you get there, what do you do?
Right.
Right. And I think that's the important factor.
It takes 11 seconds, usually the first 11 seconds of your demo reel.
Yeah, for them, the news director or whatever.
To decide whether they would like to watch the rest of it or not.
And depending on how long they've been doing it for that day, maybe less than that.
It could be they may not even get by your, you know, the graphic that tells them who you are.
Right,
where you're
exactly.
From.
Now, Jimmy, you know, you pointed out that there are these, you know, the nonprofits. So that's, I think we can put that in the positive column, right? So even though there's been all this negative stuff going on where the industry's been shrinking, the positive thing is that somebody else is picking up the rest of it and running, picking up the ball and running with it. Also, one of the things pointed out in this article is that technology has made it possible for all of us to do more engaging stories. I mean, we think about it. Over the last 10 years, 10 years ago, you couldn't just the iPhone camera wasn't what the iPhone camera was. The iPhone around 10 years ago?
Yes,
it was. Yes, it was. It was 2003, I think, was 2003, 2004 was when I think we first got one to play around with.
Right.
So it was around then. But anyway, it wasn't what it is today.
Right.
I mean, these cameras are better than professional cameras.
Right. And again, that's technology.
Mm-hmm.
And also the cameras that are, you know, placed in corners that are there to observe what's going on wherever you are.
Yeah, the big eye.
There's certainly more cameras now than ever before. So, and they're in better quality. So you can actually see better images. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact, too, that, you know, you want to make sure that you still look good no matter what camera you're on.
Right.
Wherever
right.
you are.
Yeah.
One thing I took out of this is as they looked at the last 10 years specifically, because they compared it to what it was like in 2008 during the financial crisis when everybody's
Well, you lost everything.
Half. You lost half of everything, right?
Yes.
And of course, if you had nothing to begin with,
I was just gonna say,
half of nothing is still nothing.
But it's a worse nothing.
But they were looking, it was a worse nothing. They were looking for a new business model for journalists. And again, it hasn't really happened, but it's happening through osmosis. We're evolving, and fewer people are getting their news from traditional outlets, so they're looking for other places to go. And if you're in the business, you're looking for a place where you can go still to make a living.
Right, right.
Which is, you know, by the way, journalists, as a rule, do not make a lot of money doing their job.
No.
This is not doctor, lawyer.
No. But it's more than it used to be. But yes, at certain levels, it ain't a lot of money.
Right. And of course, in the commercial side of things, your salary is being dictated by what's happened before you and the amount of audience that has created the budget so that people can use it one way or another. So I guess, you know, I think you they quoted some students coming out of the University of Missouri, which is a great journalism school. They quoted the Columbia School of Journalism as well. And, you know, I feel bad for the kids. I always used to encourage the kids because I said, look, there's more outlets out there.
Right.
They aren't as big as they used to be.
Right.
There aren't three networks. There's 100,000 networks.
That's right. That's right.
But that means that there's opportunity for you to create good content. Because I still maintain that if you can create and tell a good story, whether you are a journalist or not, there are jobs for you.
Oh, I think I enjoy the way my life turned out, but I do think that this is an exciting time to be getting out of college. Not if you think you want to go work at a local station and become the anchor there, I think, because that model, I don't know how long that will be around the way that we know it. But I do think that there are so many more opportunities. And again, back to, you know, what this article was pointing out is that technology allows you to, you know, you can now stream a live shot. We can stream this podcast. You know, you can take the audience to places where before they couldn't go or it was too expensive to take them. And there are small publications. If you're interested in covering environmental issues, if you're interested in covering issues of race and diversity,
animal rights,
whatever it is, you don't have to necessarily work for the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. You can go to that site that has figured out a way, either through nonprofit or other means, to make a dollar, and you can do what you really like. Now, it may mean that those places will fold in a couple years, or it may be that they explode and get bought up by conventional, traditional news operations. It is a different landscape. Clearly, a lot of negative things have happened over the last 10 years, but we like to leave things on a positive note. And I think that there is a lot of hope there. If you look at the glasses being half full, there's a lot there that's encouraging about this industry.
I'll agree with that, too, at this point. I can't really sit here and you know, throw a cloud on that because it's part of where we are in 2019 in journalism and in media right now. We're going through a change, and we're going to continue to go through this change because I don't think technology is going away.
I don't think so. It's here to stay.